إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، I welcome all of you, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam. And we continue our classes reading from Al-Mulakhas fi Sharh Kitab al-Tawheed, the explanation of Kitab al-Tawheed of our Shaykh, Al-Doktor Salih Al-Fawzan, Hafidhahu Allah Ta'ala. 3 weeks ago, we read and we began reading the chapter number 7 من الشرك لبس الحلقة والخيط ونحوهما لرفع البلاء أو دفعه. It is considered an act of shirk. It is considered an act of shirk to wear a ring or a twine or anything similar to them for prevention or lifting of harm or affliction. That's why it is shirk. Not anyone who wears a ring. Remember this condition. Those who wear rings, twines, or anything similar to them to prevent or to lift of harm or affliction, that's shirk. And we mentioned, we read to you the explanation of the ayah in Surah Az-Zumar. The ayah in Surah Az-Zumar. قُلْ أَفَرَأَيْتُمْ مَا تَدْعُونَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ إِنْ أَرَادَنِي اللَّهُ بِضُرٍّ هَلْ هُنَّ كَاشِفَاتُ ضُرِّهِ أَوْ أَرَادَنِي بِرَحْمَةٍ هَلْ هُنَّ مُمْسِكَاتُ رَحْمَتِهِ قُلْ حَسْبِيَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ يَتَوَكَّلُ الْمُتَوَكِّلُونَ. Surah Az-Zumar, verse 38. Say, tell me then the things that you invoke besides Allah. If Allah intended some harm for me, could they remove his harm? Or if Allah intended some mercy for me, could they withhold his mercy? Say, sufficient for me is Allah. In him those who trust, meaning the believers, must put their trust. On the 16th of Jumada, Al-Ula, Alhamdulillah, which coincide with the 8th of April of 2012, we already gave you the explanation and read to you the explanation of this verse. Now we move on as for the second proof that Al-Imam Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala brought. قال عن عمران بن حسين رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رأى رجلا في يده حلقة من صفر فقال ما هذه؟ قال الرجل من الواهنة. فقال أي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم انزعها فإنها لا تزيدك إلا وهنا، فإنك لو مت وهي عليك ما أفلحت أبدا. رواه أحمد بسند لا بأس به. عمران بن حسين رضي الله عنه narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once saw a man with a brass ring on his hand, ring that is made out of brass on his hand, and then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked that man, what is this? Meaning, what is that that you're wearing? What is that? The man replied, But even though the question was, what is this? But what is for? That is what is intended. Why are you wearing this for? What is the reason you're wearing this? The man says, to overcome the weakness of old age. The Prophet said, remove it. Remove it, for it can only add to your weakness. Should death overtake you while you are wearing it, you would never succeed. Allahu musta'an. Imran ibn Husayn, he is Imran ibn Husayn ibn Ubayd ibn Khalaf al-Khuza'i, Sahabi ibn Sahabi. He is a companion, a son of a companion, radiallahu anhuma. Aslama ama Khaybar. He entered into Islam and accepted Islam in the year of the conquest of Khaybar. ومات سنة 52 هجرية بالبصرة. And he died in the year 52 of the Hijra. 52 of the Hijra in Basra. And Basra is one of the cities in the southern parts of Iraq. And that shows, when you hear a companion died away from Medina, that shows that the companions, they went on giving da'wah. They spread out into many places to give da'wah and to teach Islam and to seek the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ما هذه, when he said to him, what is this? قال شيخ صالح الفوزان حفظه الله هذا استفهام إنكار. When the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said to that man, what is this? When he saw on his hand that bracelet that is made out of brass, when he said to him, what is this? It's not the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم wants to know what it is. No, actually, he was rebuking him, like, why are you wearing this? Why you put this on your hand? المعنى الإجمالي للحديث. Now the Shaykh, I'm going to read to you the general explanation of this hadith. Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan حفظه تعالى says, يذكر لنا عمران بن حسين رضي الله عنهما موقفا من مواقف رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في محاربة الشرك وتخليص الناس منه. He says, in this hadith, Imran ibn Husayn radiallahu anhuma, him and his father, as the Shaykh tells us, they were companions both. He said, in this hadith, Imran ibn Husayn radiallahu anhuma narrate to us a stance and a position from the many stances and positions that the Prophet of Allah, the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, took in fighting and rebuking shirk, polytheism, and rescuing and set free the people from shirk. ذلك الموقف. Now this stands here in this position. أنه أبصر صلى الله عليه وسلم رجلا لابسا حلقة مصنوعة من الصفري. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he saw a man wearing a halqa, a brass ring or a bracelet made out of brass. فسأله عن الحامل له على لبسها. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him for the reason why he's wearing it. For the reason why he's wearing it. Why he's wearing this ring that is made, or this bracelet that is made out of brass. Why he's wearing it. What is the reason? فأجاب الرجل أنه لبسها لتعصمه من الألم. The man's answer was that he's wearing it to protect him from pain, so that he won't experience any pains, and that ring made out of brass will take away the pains. فأمره بالمبادرة بطرحها. Immediately the Prophet ﷺ commanded him to remove it and to throw it away. طرحها. وأخبره أنها لا تنفعه بل تضره. Not only the Prophet ﷺ told him, remove it, put it away, but he gave him the reason why. And Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, used to say that this will make it easy for the people to accept the order. Even though if the Messenger of Allah ﷺ gave an order, we should adhere to it. Because we are will be commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to adhere to the commands of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen used to always say, لكن هذا من حسن تعليم الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. That shows the perfect way that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches. He's dealing with a human being. When he tells somebody don't do this, then you don't want to wait until he's like, why? No. You tell somebody don't do it and give him the reason why, they will accept it. Don't let them wonder and try to figure out themselves why they were commanded not to do something or drink something or go somewhere. قَدْ هَذَا مِنْ حُسْنِ تَعْلِيمِ الرَّسُولِ صلى الله عليه وسلم. So therefore we learn from it that a person, before he tell the person don't do this or don't act upon this, you got to give them the reason why. If you see somebody making dua after salat, raising their hands and wiping on their face and chest and doing certain things that you know is not from the sunnah, don't just go to a person and say, don't do this. No, tell them why. Tell them the reason why they shouldn't do it. Barakallahu feekum. So the Prophet ﷺ, he informed this person that this ring that he is wearing for that purpose would not benefit him, but actually will bring harm to him. Will harm him. وأنها تزيد الداء الذي لبست من أجله. And that him wearing it for that purpose will increase him in that weakness and that disease and in pain. وأعظم من ذلك. Worse than this. لو استمرت عليه إلى الوفاة حرم الفلاح في الآخرة أيضا. Worse than this, if a person continued to wear it for that purpose and died, the death overtakes such person on that state, he will be deprived from success in the hereafter also. مناسبة الحديث للباب. Now the Shaykh, he will tell us why Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala has selected this hadith as a proof in this chapter. There's many narrations, but he selected this, not randomly. But there is a reason why Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala carefully selected this hadith as a proof into this chapter. قال أنه يدل على المنع من لبس الحلقة لدفع البلاء لأن ذلك من الشرك المنافي للفلاح. He says he chose this hadith because in this hadith is a clear proof that it's forbidden to wear a ring with the intention to prevent or lift of harm or affliction. Why? Because it is from shirk. Doing it this way is from shirk, which contradicts success. Falah in this life and the hereafter, success and to be successful in this life and the hereafter is for the muwahideen. It's for those people who are upon tawheed. Shirk leads to destruction. Shirk leads to the hellfire, wal'iyadu billah. While tawheed leads to success, to the pleasure of Allah, to happiness in this life, and happiness in the hereafter. So once again, not anyone who's wearing a ring that he's committing shirk, okay? Al-umuru bimaqasidiha. But now what is the intentions behind wearing that ring? Okay? طيب. ما يستفاد من الحديث. What is some of the benefits that we gain or we deduct from this hadith? The Shaykh, he mentioned, or before that, as usual, he wants to hear from you brothers, inshaAllah ta'ala, what is some of the benefits of this hadith? A sentence. Naam, Ayyub.
أعوذ one of the benefits is to find out the intention of the person. If you think you see something wrong, you try to
get
before jumping to the other.
No. Sheikh mentioned one of those, alhamdulillah, number 5. No. Alhamdulillah.
Before you tell a person not to do a thing, you explain to him the reason why not to do it.
Ahsant. No. Wa kadalik. No, Nuruddin.
To try to prevent shirk whenever you see it.
Ahsant.
You should tell them, right?
What else? What about giving me a benefit that has to do with the title, with the chapter itself? Huh? That should be the first benefit. Who remind us the title of this chapter? No?
Wearing a ring or a coin or anything like that. Prevent harm is
shirk. Ahsan. Now, so who can... Now, Abdul Majid?
I didn't hear what he said.
No, you want to say a benefit.
I want to say a benefit.
Okay,
all in Allah can prevent harm.
Ayna. Tayyip. Now.
Shirk can put you in hellfire.
Ayna. Tayyip, inshallah. Now you can write down. Jazakumullah khair. Number one. أن لبس الحلقة وغيرها للاعتصام بها من الأمراض من الشرك. Wearing bracelets and the like for the sake of being safeguarded against diseases, illness, is regarded as an act of shirk, polytheism. Okay? Wearing bracelets and the like, rings, as the Shaykh is going to mention in next hadith, talismans, okay, and beads, alright? For the sake of being safeguarded against diseases and illnesses. So now this is a very important condition. Not anyone who is wearing bracelet. Now, for the intention that bracelet or that ring will save them from diseases. As long as he has it on, that man he's not going to be touched with any disease. He can dive into the disease, but nothing happens. He's going to come out clean. Alright? And illnesses. As long as he has that on, he'll never get sick. This is shirk. Okay? This is regarded as an act of polytheism. Number two, النهي عن التداوي بالحرام. It is forbidden to use any prohibited material for treatment and cure. Anything that is prohibited for us, we don't use it as a cure. What about it? That thing is shirk, or will that lead to shirk? Number three, إنكار المنكر وتعليم الجاهلي. Benefit. Look how many gold benefits from this hadith. إنكار المنكر وتعليم الجاهل. Who can translate this? It's easy. إنكار المنكر وتعليم الجاهل.
To hate
the bad things that people do, the sins, the sins, the munkar, and to teach the ignorant. You got the second part right. Somebody help me in the first part. Inkar or munkar. What mean inkar? Not to hate.
To warn against.
To rebuke, refute. To change. Try to change the munkar, the evil. Inkar is to talk against the munkar. But with a good intention to try to change it. Okay? So the Shaykh says, إنكار المنكر وتعليم الجاهلي. In this hadith, trying to change the evil Trying your best, but with knowledge, not with ignorance. And evil is not changed through an evil act. No, with manners, with good manners, good acts. And teaching the ignorant. And teaching the ignorant. Where the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where the Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan brought this from this hadith? Where? Remember, these are benefits from the hadith. These are not just the Shaykh telling us something. Naam, Muhammad.
Against the evil, I
warned
against the rain.
Ahsant. Talked to him. He talked to Ibn. Ahsant. That's when he told him, inzaha. Told him, remove it. That's changing in evil. Because him wearing that ring for that reason, to prevent pains and illness, is an evil act. It's a shirk, billah. The greatest evil. So the Prophet ﷺ, he told him, inzaha, remove it immediately. Okay? That's changing in evil. And he taught him. Why? Because he didn't just leave him to wonder about. However, he taught him, he said to him, the reason why. The reason why he commanded him to remove it. Number 4, darar al-shirki fi dunya wal-akhirah. Shirk has evil and bad consequences both in this life and in the hereafter. Where is the consequences, the evil consequence in this life? In the hadith?
Who brings a boy sick?
Naam, Tariq.
Increase you in it.
Ahsant. He said to him, فَإِنَّهَا لَا تَزِيدُكَ إِلَّا وَهْنَا. When the Prophet ﷺ said, remove it, he said to him, for it can only add to your weakness in this life. And in the hereafter? You will never succeed. With condition, if death overtake that person, he won't be successful. Number 5, استفسار المفتي واعتبار المقاصد. That's when Ayyub mentioned the first time. That a mufti must perceive the issue in details before delivering his verdict. A mufti, and who's a mufti? The mufti is a Muslim scholar qualified in issuing legal rulings. Not everybody can give fatwa. Okay? He's a qualified Muslim scholar who's known with his knowledge, age, and that the ulama, his contemporary scholars, they know his level of understanding and hikmah and wisdom and the like. Yes, he can give a fatwa. But based on details. That's why the Shaykh, he says, istifsal al-mufti, when it's tafsir, that a mufti, a Muslim scholar qualified in issuing legal rulings and verdicts, must perceive the issue in details before delivering his verdict. Who can relate this to the hadith? No, but you.
It refers to the Prophet ﷺ asked him the reason why he was wearing.
Ahsant. Now he said to him, "Ma hadhihi." The Prophet ﷺ, he asked. Subhanallah. He is the messenger of Allah ﷺ, but he asked the man. And we learn from this that we should ask people. We don't jump into conclusions. This is very important. Amongst ourselves, as a members of a community, a husband and wife, father and child, mother and daughter, two partners, whatever, neighbors, ask. Don't just jump into conclusion and then later on you find out that you were wrong and now you want to like clean it up. Why you have to go through that route? You go follow the way of the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Ask. If you see somebody and you think that this is something wrong, ask. There is many narration when the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked the companions, did you do this? Did you say this? But sometimes, subhanAllah, from the tricks of the shaitan and from our ignorance too, can't blame it on the shaitan all the time. But if our ignorance, that's why we try to implement, not just to hear and be in the class, I was in that class, I finished that book. No, the implementation is very important. Sometimes you find a husband and a wife get into it and fighting and you become ugly sometimes because they don't. Maybe he or she, they don't apply this manhaj of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He hears something from somebody and he builds a conclusion on it and decision, make a decision by what he heard from somebody. Never ask her. Never come to her and say, listen, I heard something, I saw something. Likewise, two brothers in the community, friends for years. Because when he receives a text message from somebody, sometimes don't even know the person who sent him the text message. Well, guess what, the brother you'll be going with is this and this, and he make a decision based on that. And this is in opposition to the minhaj. If he wants to do it the right way, we ask questions. We go to the person nicely, kindly. Akhi, I heard this, I received a text message, I saw you doing this. Shaykh Ibn al-Taymin, he says, rahimahullah, people may have a reason why they're doing that. Like this person here in this hadith, he was ignorant. Was the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam rough with him? Did he tell him, you're not my companion anymore? No, he taught him, yeah. He taught him with kindness. And many narrations also as well, that they display the leniency and gentleness, the mercy of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in teaching the people. He don't get mad at them. Like the hadith that is in Sahih Muslim in Kitab al-Salat, Muawiyah ibn Abi al-Hakam al-Sulami. Qala kuntu hadith ahdi bil Islam, bi jahiliya. He says, I just came from jahiliya. He's new in Islam. And he was in the masjid praying, and a man sneezed. So he learned, he's fresh, but he learned that if somebody sneezed, tell him, Yarhamuk Allah. But there is a detail that you gotta hear somebody say Alhamdulillah. If you don't hear them say Alhamdulillah, you don't tell them Yarhamukallah. But he said to that person Yarhamukallah. He didn't know yet, he didn't learn yet that people should not talk in the salat. So he wants to apply something he knew. But the companions, they look at him in a way that, listen man, you shouldn't be talking in the salat. And he even said something when they were looking at him, he says, Watukla ummaya. He even talked now more. But after the salah, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam nicely, as these companions himself says, Ma ra'aytu ahsana minhu ta'leeman sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, I never seen anyone who is better than him in teaching. Because this man, this companion, he used to go to the priests, as the ulama who explained the hadith before, in Jahiliyyah, when they have issues, they have problems, they used to go to the people of knowledge, amongst the priests and the rabbis, and ask them for affairs. Or they used to go to the people, the leaders of their communities, who were upon shirk. That's why he said, I've never seen anyone better than him in the way he teaches. In the way how merciful he is. He says, مَا كَهَرَنِي وَلَا شَتَمَنِي وَلَا ضَرَبَنِي. He didn't refute me. He didn't rebuke me. He didn't yell at me. He didn't beat me. Rather, he told me that this salat can't talk in it, but rather is takbir and the like at the end of the hadith. وكذلك اعتبار المقاصد اعتبار المقاصد. And that a person should take in consideration the intentions behind those actions. Yes, that's the reason of asking a person, why you're doing this? And if a person tell you the reason why they're doing it, then the answer is based on their intent, on the intentions. Some people sometimes they give a person the intentions why they're doing it, they say, no, it's not like that. I know your intention. A'udhu billah. And that's why you get into problems. They get into problems. Two brothers, one go to the other, says, Akhi, did you say this about me? Somebody told me that you said this. He says, yes. Then they said, punch him in the face? No. What he should do now, Abdullah?
Allahu
A'ad. Find out why he said it.
Ahsan. Ask him. So the first thing, you go to a person, right? We give this example to make it easy. You hear somebody come to you, Abdullah says, guess what, man? Muhammad said this and this. You know? What do you do now? Some people, they have different reactions. He said that. Oh, man. Now he's mad at him now. He waits until he sees him in the salat. He's waiting for him in the parking lot. Instead to come early and pray sunnah, tahiyat al-masjid, read the Quran, like he usually do. Now he's waiting for his brother in the parking lot. As soon as the brother about to get from the car, he's on his face. I thought you were my friend. Is this right? No, this is not the right way. That's why people get problems. So now what is the proper way? When you're Abdullah, okay? And we all Abdullah, okay? We all Ibadullah, we all the servants of Allah, okay? When I say Abdullah, I'm not just talking to the one whose name is Abdullah. So when you, ya Abdullah, somebody come to you and tell you something about somebody, your friend, your wife, your mother, your father, your neighbor, your employee, your supervisor, what is your attitude? What do you do now? Number one, ask them. You ask the person. You reach me that you said this. Is it true? Yes, that's all you have to say. Now he says, yes, I said it. What is the second step? What you do now?
What
did you
mean by it?
Huh? Why? Yes. Why you said it? See? It's not because he said it. Oh, you said it, huh? All right. And then he's your enemy now. You want to fight him? No. You ask him why you said it. Maybe he's right, man. Sometimes we act like we're perfect. Maybe he's right. Maybe she's right. Your son, yes, he's only like 12 years old. Maybe he's right. Your wife, she may be right. Why? Our wives, they're always wrong? They can never say something good? No. You ask that person why you said it, why you did it. And they may give you a valid reason why they said it after all. And if they're right, you accept what? You accept the haqq, akhi. You want to make it to the Jannah? You're a Salafi? Accept the haqq. Don't deny it. Don't fight it. And follow your desire. That's what a true Salafi is. He accepts the haqq. He's like, yeah, you're right, man. I was wrong. Yeah, I shouldn't have said that. Oh, I said it. Please forgive me. See? And we move on. Start a clean sheet now. But some people, they want to fight. No, I ain't said that. And if that person that he said what he said was wrong, then what you do? He was wrong. Now you ask him why you said it and he give you a bad reason. What you do now? Still jump on his case? No, man. You be patient and tell him, akhi, jazakallah khair, akhi, but it's not like that. And explain to him why he's wrong. But that's your brother. We're supposed to increase the brotherhood, not to eliminate one another. This is not a gang, man. Salafiyya is not a gang. No, Salafiyya is beautiful, man. Strengthen the brotherhood. We all make mistakes. But that's why sincerity is very important. If somebody is sincere, he tries to preserve. And if somebody loves something, he tries to preserve it. He tries to preserve it. But if somebody is in it for other reasons, he's going to try to get rid of it. It's like a burden. If somebody in a marriage, and he loves to be with that person, because those people, they love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he knows he's married to a person, not to an angel, to a human being that may make mistakes, that got an attitude one day, okay? And then if that person is sincere in that relationship, whether it be marriage, whether it be friendship, whether it be anything, in that person, he will try his best and she will try her best to preserve that relationship. But if somebody is in there for other purpose and he become a burden on him, now he's looking for excuses, silly excuses to get rid of it. If somebody into that marriage, not sincerely with his heart, not for the sake of Allah, just for other purpose, for desire, and being there, now it's bored. Now he's going to try to find any excuses to move on into fulfilling his desires. Alright? So it's very important for us to remember. Number 6, and the shirk al-asghar akbar al-kabair. Al-shirk al-asghar akbar al-kabair. That minor shirk is considered one of the greatest of all major sins. Besides shirk al-akbar, beside the major shirk. Number 7, and the shirk لا يعذر فيه بالجهل. Falling into polytheism out of ignorance is by no means excused. And this is as to be understood, as the ulama they mentioned, this is for those people who do not make an effort to learn. You gotta make an effort, man. People, and especially now, those who are around, they're in an area and a time where the information is available. Look in our time. This is from the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us. Alhamdulillah. Subhanallah, man. Information become easy for us. The ulama are many, and the means to reach them become easier. Can you imagine we live in America and he wants to ask a alim in Saudi, for example? And it is, and we live like no technology whatsoever, no planes, no airplanes, nothing. No phones, no emails, no text messages, no internet, no cell phones, no phones, period, no electricity. What is the only way you can ask that alim? By traveling in person or sending your letter by who? By somebody. How long it will take you to get the answer?
Long time.
A long time. From here. We're surrounded by water, man. Can't swim. So you gotta find somebody who's going there. Find a boat. Maybe it costs a lot. And it takes long time. Yet still, people did it, man. They were patient and they took on the waves and the hardship of months. And they went there and learned and asked. But some of us, we can't even wait for 2 hours. Can't wait for a day. SubhanAllah. It's easy for us. The ulama, they have phone numbers. And they make those phone numbers available. Scholars have email addresses. If you go to their websites, they have an email. They even like, they make it easy. You have a question? Click here. And once you click, it puts you right there when you can type your question. And they will send you the email. You will get the answer in your email, akhi. SubhanAllah, it's amazing. So we should learn, ikhwan. Can be in a time and environment with all of this ni'am of Allah upon us and a person committing shirk and out of ignorance. You gotta learn. And number 8, التغليظ في الإنكار على من فعل شيئا من الشرك لأجل التنفير منه. Those who commit any act of polytheism must be strictly opposed, refuted, so as to make people abhor such a practice. So shirk should be refuted and opposed and changed immediately. Immediately, because the Prophet ﷺ immediately said to the man, "Inziha," give him an order, remove it right now. Okay, he didn't say, well, next time if he does it, I'm going to see if next time did it. No. He may not be next time for that person. The death is certain. Next time is not. He may not be. You see somebody doing shirk, and you say, I talk to him tomorrow. What do you mean tomorrow? And then tomorrow they like, oh, we're praying janazah. Unhu, that same person. I don't know what you're going to say, subhanAllah. No, you see act of shirk, you talk about it immediately. And you don't compromise the deen of Allah and the tawheed. Somebody's committing an act of shirk and say, well, it's okay, but you know, what do you mean it's okay? Shirk is okay? No, it's not okay. Tell them this is shirk. This is evil. And that's what you do. As for they will accept it, they don't, that's up to, that's with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the ulama, they says that al-hidayah naw'an, guidance is two types. Hidayah to dilalati wal bayan. The first type of guidance is when a person speak out of knowledge and hikmah, wisdom, and explain to the people what they're doing is wrong and give them the right way. What is right to do. And the second type of guidance, hidayah to tawfiq, to be successful in applying the truth. This is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why if you be amazed, sometimes you be talking to somebody for years and then they still not acting upon it. It's because Allah didn't want them. Continue to talk to them. And that's why you find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَإِنَّكَ لَتَهْدِي إِلَىٰ طَرِيقٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. For indeed, you, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you guide to the right path. And then in another ayah, he said to him, لَيْسَ عَلَيْكَ هُدَاهُمْ. It's not upon you their guidance. And also he said to him, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ. You do not guide whom you love. Yes, subhanAllah. There is no contradiction between these two ayats, period. But the understanding of these two ayats is the first ayah, وَإِنَّكَ لَتَهْدِي, indeed you guide by teaching, by making clear to the people the path. And when he said to him, it's not up to you their guidance, meaning the success. It's not up to you, even in the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How long he was calling his uncle, but still he died upon shirk. And there are people never seen the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Don't even speak Arabic and they accept his message, Allahu Akbar. Because Allah opened their hearts. So So once again, this is a very important book, Kitab al-Tawheed. And the explanation of it is more important so that we can understand the Tawheed. Unlike certain people, they say Tawheed, Tawheed, Tawheed. Come on, man. We know Tawheed. No, you don't. We need to know the details about Tawheed and the details about Shirk. Sheikh Muhammad ibn Ramzan, rahimahullah, al-Hajri, I met him in Morocco in this visit, my recent visit. He was there and he gave a lot of talks, alhamdulillah, all over the country, hafidahullah. But I saw him only in two cities. One is Tamara, next to Rabat, the capital, and in Marrakesh. And when he was talking about Tawheed and Shirk and warning against Shirk, and he said, the da'wah salafiyya, da'wah tafsiliyya. The da'wah salafiyya, of course, based on knowledge, but details, with details. You don't just tell the people, shirk is haram, and you stop right there. No, explain to them the types of shirk. There is so many different types. Not just prostrating for an idol or worshipping a tree. No, there is so many forms of shirk that the people should know. Look at this one here. People wearing rings, necklaces. Huh? Yeah, on the that's gonna come in the next chapter. In the same chapter is coming, inshallah. Sahana, people wearing things, beads all around them, and people they have even different beads, different colors: green for fever, yellow for what is it? For I don't know. Maybe yellow is for fever. Yeah, who knows? Huh? And green for what? Headache. Whatever. I'm just trying to give an example. No.
This goes back to like the rings and the talismans. Rings. Even though the intention, let's say like in America, people say, oh, they wear rings to show that they're married. And
so that they're the what?
To say that they're married.
They're married.
And so is that intention, is that allowed, is that permissible?
That's different, that's not shirk. Okay? But we do not do it the way that they do it. Okay? We don't wear rings in marriage because they did it. Okay? We follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it's very important, the Shaykh says, that the da'wah salafiyya tafsiliyya. Likewise, tawheed. You want to teach the people tawheed and talk about it, you got to bring details. So that's what's going to bring the people a better understanding. You want to talk about the sunnah, you're going to explain it in details. You want to talk about bid'ah, innovation, you want to bring it in details so the people, they know what it is. But some people, they claim Salafiyya, but then when they mention the bid'ah, they brush over, you know. They never bring the details of bid'ah and innovation, different types of innovation, the danger of innovation. So the more details you have, the more, subhanAllah, you know about a thing. So it's very important for us to understand these things, and that's why the objective of these classes in Kitab al-Tawheed and the explanation of Kitab al-Tawheed, which we continue next Saturday, inshaAllah ta'ala. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك جزاكم الله خيرا وبارك الله فيكم.